Thank you for listening to this message from the pulpit of Coon Rapids Baptist Church in the suburbs of Minneapolis, Minnesota.
I want to invite you to open your scriptures to Matthew chapter number 9. Matthew chapter number 9. We were in this passage last week and we were looking at really emphasizing a different set of verses than we are going to be looking at this morning. Matthew chapter number 9. Let's pick it up in verse number 35 for the sake of context. Matthew chapter number 9 and verse number 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. I want to draw your attention to one concept in that last verse, and that concept is brought out by two words. Same thought. Verse 38, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. One word that we see is the word Lord. The other word that we see is the word his harvest. And I want you to think about this truth this morning, church, that that you must understand this fact, that the harvest is his. It's his harvest. And as we launch into a theme for 2020 about an I harvest so that we can be involved in God's harvest, we need to have it before our minds that it really is God's harvest. It really is his harvest. He is the Lord of it. And I believe this truth, based upon the scripture here, that if you'll get your eyes on the Lord of the harvest, you will labor in the harvest. We've prepared our heart today by thinking not only of the need of the harvest, but we've prepared our heart especially by singing great songs, praising our great and wonderful God. He's a great God. And this passage here defines him with a word that you're very familiar with. If you've gone to church much at all, you're familiar with the idea of him being the Lord. You're familiar with that word Lord. The word Lord means owner. It means master. The word refers to this concept of someone who possesses something, and therefore, because they possess it, they can control it. Because they own it, they get to control that very thing. That's what the word Lord means. The word was used in Aesop's fables back in the Greek days to refer to a bunch of metal workers that together owned a dog. They were the owners of that dog. They controlled that dog. The word, of course, was used in ancient times to refer to those people who owned slaves. Therefore, they controlled those slaves. They were the Lord. They were the master. They were the owner. It's that sovereignty. It's that power. It's a stronger word than what you can use to refer to owning your own house. See, you own your house, or maybe you and the bank own your house, right? But you don't have ultimate control over your house. If you want to change and remodel something in your house, you have to go down to the city hall and you have to get a permit. And they tell you what you can do and what you can't do. You own it, but you don't have that full control here. They tell you, hey, listen, this property that you own is zoned for this. And you can't just come in with a bulldozer and level your house and put a gas station in the middle of your neighborhood. It's not zoned for commercial. It's zoned for residential. You can't do that. They tell you that you can't go rifle hunting in your backyard in Coon Rapids. Imagine that concept as well. They tell you certain things that you can do. There's certain things that you can't do. You're owner, but you don't have full control. But listen, it's not that way with Jesus Christ and the harvest. He owns it. He's sovereign over it. He's in control of the harvest. And listen, if you want to be involved this year in the harvest fields, you've got to understand that He is the Lord of the harvest. He is in charge of them. He is in control of them. There's nobody that's demanding a permit of Him. There's nobody that puts rules and regulations upon Him. He is sovereign and He is in control of it. And listen, if you will think about this truth, I want to tell you this morning, it will change your perspective of the harvest. It'll really encourage you. In fact, by way of introduction, let me give you just two quick points about this concept. I really believe that when you understand this concept, that He is the Lord of the harvest, number one, it will draw you to activity. Every one of the points that we are going to consider, when you see the Lord's in charge of this, the Lord's responsible for this, it doesn't cause you to say, well, I guess I'll just sit here and do nothing because He's in charge. Not at all. Every one of them that we see, when you say, wow, the Lord's in charge of that, there's always a Bible principle then of how you're supposed to get involved. You're supposed to get active because He's in charge. It draws me to activity because He's the one with authority. I say, you know what? I want to get involved in that because I know God's working. I know my God's in charge. I know my God can open up doors. It always draws me to activity. So if you're sitting here thinking, well, if God's in charge of the harvest, I can just take it easy. No, no, no. That's not the biblical truth of it. It draws me to activity. But number two, it delivers me from anxiety. Because if you're involved in the harvest, there's lots of anxiety. We're going to talk about some of those anxieties. There's some of these stresses. There's some of these uncertainties. There's some of these fearful things that we naturally have. But when we see that He is the Lord of the harvest, not only does it draw me to get involved in the harvest of seeing people come to know Jesus Christ as Savior, but it delivers me from a great deal of anxiety. Because He's in charge. He's the owner. He's the ruler. He has all the power in heaven and on earth. And I can be delivered from a great amount of fear and anxiety in my life. I've often chuckled about the difference between being an assistant pastor and a senior pastor, as we sometimes call it. At this point in time in my life, I've spent several years in both. You know, when you're an assistant pastor, sometimes people come up to you at church or through the week and they say, hey, I've got a question. I've got a concern about this. Sometimes you can answer it, and sometimes you can't, or it's a sticky situation, and you learn to use this wonderful phrase, you'll have to talk to the pastor. When you're an assistant, it's just a wonderful thing. You'll have to talk to the pastor. And then it's his problem. It's glorious. Now I am one. And now I don't get to pass the buck off to anybody else. There's a difference in that responsibility in that regard. There's a difference in that. And listen, when it comes to the harvest, it's not my harvest. It's His harvest. He's in charge of it. He's in control. He has the authority. He carries the responsibility. Our theme this year is I harvest so I can work in God's harvest. It's not your harvest. It's not my harvest. It's not Coon Rapids Baptist Church's harvest here. It's His. And I'm just a worker, but He's in charge. And He's responsible. And I want you to see this morning five things that He's responsible for as the Lord of the harvest. And when you see these five biblical truths, I think it will draw you to activity. And it will deliver you from anxiety so that you'll be involved in God's harvest. Father, I thank You for the opportunity to gaze at Your authority and Your power. I pray that You'd help me to accurately and by the power of Your Spirit deliver Your word that we might see You and be changed by Your authority, by Your power and how You're in control. I pray that You would refresh us with this, motivate us with this. In Jesus' name, amen. five things the Lord's responsible for. We're going to see the first one brought out in this very passage here. He says in verse 37, "Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Number one, the Bible makes it very clear that the Lord is responsible for the workers. He's responsible for the workers. He's the one here that if we'll pray, he will send forth laborers or workers into his harvest. There are many different scriptures that support this, and I'm just going to quote and read off a few of them to you. In Acts chapter 13 and verse number 2, it says, "As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." See, God called those laborers into the harvest. In Romans chapter 10 and verse number 15, "How shall they preach except they be sent?" God sends them into the harvest. God called Paul. You're familiar with Paul in the scriptures. 1 Timothy 1:12, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." Paul says, God put me into the ministry. God called Barnabas. We already read that in Acts chapter 13 and verse number 2. God called the 12 disciples. Mark chapter 1 verse 16. "Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew his brother casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus saith unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him." He called the 12 disciples into his service. He called a young man by the name of Timothy into his service. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 9, Paul says, "Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling." Do you know that God empowers you to be a witness? Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses." God emboldens everyday church members, not just pastors, not just paid staff, not just deacons, everyday church members. Acts chapter 4 verse 13, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness." Listen, I want you to understand, he's the Lord of the harvest. He's responsible for the workers. God calls people to serve him. I was 4 years old when I trusted Jesus Christ to be my Savior. And while still a boy, God began to do a work in my heart about preaching. As I've told you, some of you at different times, I would line up my stuffed animals there and get out the family stereo speaker, which back in those days were pieces of furniture, and use the stereo speaker as my pulpit and preach to my stuffed animals. God was working in my life and causing me to be open to that concept. When I became a teenager and was getting close to graduation, I realized that I needed something a little bit more certain than a stuffed animal to know the future of what God would have me to do with my life. And I began to pray that God would make it clear, and reading in my own devotions as a teenager, that Romans chapter number 10 passage about preaching the word of God spoke to my heart. And that same summer I went to church camp, and there an invitation was given about surrendering your life to full-time Christian service, and just made solid and certain what God had already been doing in my heart, working in my heart to be a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. God had given me opportunities growing up to share the word of God and to be involved in our Sunday school and to teach children and to preach in some limited ways in those capacities. You know, I don't have a single preacher that I know of in my history going back. I don't have any relatives that were preachers. My dad told me one time that some of his college or some of his high school buddies smirked and grinned and looked at my dad and said, "Would you have ever imagined that you would have a boy that would be a preacher?" Picking on him a little bit in that regard there. It wasn't my parents that called me. It wasn't in my lineage. It wasn't my pastor that called me. It was God. God calls people to the harvest field. But listen, it's not just pastors. It's not just those that are official. God calls each and every one of you to the harvest field. And listen, why is it that there are some people that just have a passion to get out in the harvest field and to work in the harvest and to see people come to know Jesus Christ as Savior? Why is it that some people are just, they're just eager to be a part of it here? God works in the hearts of everyday people to want to share the gospel with people. The wife that I have today, the wife that I've always had since we've been married, say my words rightly here, is a result of the fact that God worked in the heart of an everyday man, a farmer, to work in the harvest. And that farmer was my grandfather. He was a farmer in central Iowa and had a burden to see people come to know Christ as Savior. And one day he stopped at a farmhouse and invited a family in that farmhouse to his church. They were already believers, but they visited his Baptist church out in the country and began to go there and join that church and attended that church for many years. And then God moved them to our town where they came to the church that my family went to. And as they say, the rest is history. But listen, God worked in the life of a farmer. There were no pastors in his history, in his lineup. He was an adult farmer when a pastor came to town and shared the gospel with him, and he trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, and he began to be involved in the harvest field. And the clear testimony of Scripture is that God is responsible for the workers in the harvest. He sends them. He calls them. He empowers them. He gives them boldness so that they'll do the work. It's His harvest, and He provides the workers. And listen, if there's anything that concerns pastors, if there's anything that concerns those people who have a passion to see Jesus Christ glorified, a passion for the local church, it's the concern and the need for workers. The world population clock is ticking at 7.7 billion people. The needs are great. There are lost people all around us. There are many closed countries. There are countries where people have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are countries and cities like ours where people live in the shadow of a steeple and yet they still don't know Jesus Christ as Savior here. There is an incredible need for laborers in Coon Rapids and the North Metro area here. We need laborers. Three pastors got together for coffee, and they were talking about a situation, and they were talking about the fact that they struggled many times with having bats in the attic of the church. And so they were discussing it, and one guy says, well, I got my shotgun out, and I just went up in the attic, and I started shooting at the bats. I said, did it work? No, but it put a lot of holes in the roof and the ceiling, and I had to fix all of those holes. The next guy says, I trapped them all. I drove 50 miles out into the country. I let them all go. And when I drove back home, they were back in the attic before I even got back. They flew faster than I could. I couldn't get rid of them. They're all brainstorming, how do we get the bats out of the attic at church? And so the third pastor says, well, I didn't have any problem with it. I was able to get rid of them. And both of their eyes were just on, what did you do? Man, our plans didn't work. He says, well, I baptized them. I made them church members, and I haven't seen them since. Those are kind of the jokes that are brought out, right? There's a need for laborers. There's a need for someone to get involved and be involved in serving the Lord here. There is such an incredible need as Jesus Christ brings out. And listen, God is responsible for those labors. And that delivers us from a lot of anxiety. Because as a pastor, let me just be transparent, I can have a lot of anxiety about this. I can have a lot of concern. Lord, we need laborers. And look at Coon Rapids. And look at the need of Coon Rapids Baptist Church. And look at all we could do if we just had more laborers. God, we need more laborers. And I cast vision. And I preach hard. And I do all that I can to try to see people come and be laborers. But listen, I can't do it on my own strength. Because God is the one who's responsible for the laborers. But listen, we said in the beginning that this always draws me to activity. And what is the activity in this verse? It's the first word of verse 38. What is my activity? I'm supposed to pray. That's my responsibility. And you know what? What I found is this, that when God answers prayer and calls someone to be involved in the harvest, they're the best worker in the world. And you know what? They can be exhausted that week. But come time to serve the Lord that Sunday, they're there. Because it wasn't me twisting their arm. It was God putting it in their heart, and they wanted to be involved. God did the work in their heart. God did the work in their life. When the weeks are long, when there's not much thankfulness, when the situations don't go as well as they want to, they're in it for the long haul because God put it in their hearts. But it's my responsibility, Christian. It's your responsibility, church member. It's your responsibility to pray for laborers. Is it on your regular prayer request? It might not be something you pray for every single day, but do you regularly pray for God to bring people who would labor around the world? Do you regularly pray that God would bring people to labor in Coon Rapids? Do you regularly pray that God would bring people to labor in Coon Rapids Baptist Church with us here in this harvest? Do you pray that God would help people to be excited about getting involved and serving God with their lives here? Do you pray that God would work it in their lives? It's your job to pray. It's your responsibility to pray, to express dependence upon God and say, God, there's this huge need for laborers, this huge need in the lost world around us. And God, we need laborers. Would you work in hearts and life? Would you work in my heart to help me to be the laborer that you would want me to be? Would you pray for laborers? This year, as our church works on the iHarvest project, may it be something that we regularly pray for laborers in the harvest. But you know, as I consider the Word of God, I realize that we have another responsibility, especially myself as a pastor. And that other responsibility and activity that I have is to prepare laborers. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 12, you don't have time to turn there. It says that God gave pastors and evangelists so that they could prepare the saints to do the work of the ministry. It's my responsibility to prepare you so you can serve God. I don't know what your concept of church is, but it's not that we hire a pastor to do all of the church work. You do hire the pastor to do church work, but my responsibility is simply to train other people so that they can do the work, and actually we can do more when it works out that way. And it's been interesting for me. I've had this on my heart and mind for the last couple weeks. All these different things keep bringing this truth up to my mind. And then I'm studying for this message this week, and here it comes again. Just the importance of the pastor to prepare laborers for the harvest. To be teaching people. To be training people. To be helping people. To be workers in the harvest fields. Listen, there's got to be a time in our church in which I do that. There's got to be some sort of official way in which we can do it. And so far, the way I'm thinking about it right now, the best way I can think of it in our church is on Sunday nights. Sunday nights, we've called, for the past couple years, we've called it a team building service. Listen, the reason that I do that is because I want to emphasize that oftentimes when we come on Sunday nights, we are learning things that help us to function as a team and serve God. If you're not a member, yes, there are certain things that you can do to serve in some capacities. If you are a member of our church, there's a whole boatload more of things that you can do to serve in that capacity here in our church. But listen, there's got to be a time in which I give some training. There's got to be some time in which I give some instruction. As I look at the Word of God and all that a local church is supposed to do, I don't believe, unless it's one huge, big, day-long service, I don't think I can get everything the Bible wants us to get done in one big service, in one service. That's why we have multiple services. That's why we have a prayer service on Wednesday night, because we're supposed to pray the Lord of the harvest that He would send forth laborers. It's not because all the people at Coon Rapids Baptist Church have nothing else to do with their lives. It's because we look at the Word of God, and God's Word says that the local church is supposed to be a place of prayer, and so we have a prayer service. The local church is supposed to be about preparing people. And listen, there's going to be some opportunities on Sunday night. That's why the last couple years, when we launched into doing all of this vision, I preached through it, especially on Sunday nights. Because Sunday nights was an opportunity to explain that to the core here. I just want to help you understand all that God wants a local church to do. I want you to help you understand why we meet at these different times. Right now, yeah, we're going through Job. And part of the reason we're going through Job is because I just wanted to feed those people who come on Sunday nights. I just wanted to encourage you with an awesome truth in an awesome book of the Bible. But after that, God may lead us to study out some other things and to do some training on ushering and hosting at our church and some other different things like that, just to continue to prepare more laborers in His harvest. That's why we ask those that are involved in our church to be involved in all the different services, those that are involved in leadership to be involved in all the different services in our church, because we prepare laborers. God does the work. My responsibility is to pray that He calls laborers and to prepare the laborers that He's working. That's my job. But God is doing the work. Number one, He is responsible. He is responsible for the workers. The second thing that I want you to see this morning is He's responsible for the process. The process of somebody getting saved, the various components of it. I don't have one specific passage of Scripture that I want you to turn to, but I'm going to give you several different things. You know, when it comes to the harvest, and by harvest I mean people that don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, coming to the place where they put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ as Savior, He's responsible for that work, that process. You know, first of all, it's His Son. I'm going to give you four quick things that are part of this process. It's His Son. See, you can't get to heaven on your own. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done. All of my righteousnesses, the Bible says, are as filthy rags. I cannot get to heaven on my own. I cannot have salvation on my own. I cannot have a relationship with God on my own. It's His Son that did the work. His Son died on the cross for my sins. And friend, if you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, you don't have Bible salvation. It begins by trusting His Son. When it comes to the harvest, the whole process is His. It's His Son. And number two, it's His gospel. You see, what is the gospel? The gospel is the message about His Son, Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 3 tell us that. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, it's His Son, but then the gospel is the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. In Romans 1:9, it calls it the gospel of His Son. In Romans 1:16, it's the gospel of Christ. In Romans 15:16, it's the gospel of God. The good news of salvation, the message of how someone trusts Jesus Christ as Savior, isn't my message. I didn't write it. I didn't make it up. I can't twist it. I can't pervert it. I can't say, you know what, I know these people over here in this culture group and this political group, they don't really like this part of the gospel, so I'm just going to cut that out and add this instead. I can't do it because it's not my message. It's His Son that paid the price, and it's His gospel message. Number three, it's His Word. It's His Word that does the work in people's hearts and lives. It's His Word that records the gospel message and tells me about His Son, Jesus Christ. It's not my word. It's His word. Jeremiah 23:29. Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord? Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. Matthew 24:35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Luke 8 and verse number 11, the seed is the word of God. It's God's word. Romans chapter 10 and verse number 17, so then faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse number 13, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually works in you that believe. 1 Peter 1 and verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. It is His word. And we just unleash it. We just speak it. We just deliver it to people. And God's word does the work. It's His process. It's His Son recorded in His gospel, written down in His word, and it's delivered, number four, by His Spirit. It's His Spirit that does the work. John 16 and verse number 7 says this, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter, that's the Holy Spirit, will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. And when He is come, He will reprove, that's convict, the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. His Holy Spirit does the work. It's His Son in His gospel, recorded in His Word, by the power of His Spirit that does the work in saving souls. It's His process. And all I am is a messenger. I wonder if you've been through the downtown here in Minneapolis or some of the other big cities, and probably in a little bit better weather, as you're driving through the downtown, you see some people on bicycles. And they're cutting through traffic and stuff, and they're not just out for a joyride. They're delivering something, right? They're couriers. I don't know what they might have on their backpack or on their bike there, but they have some documents, maybe from a lawyer, and they're taking them from this office to another office. They're delivery people. They're couriers. They would be similar to UPS, FedEx, and UPS. They're delivery persons. Now, when here someone is sitting in this office and all of a sudden the courier walks in, they thank that courier. We're excited to see the post office or UPS deliver our package, right? I got some packages this week for some different things, and it's always nice to get those packages, you know, unless they come from the IRS or something. You're usually thankful to get packages that come in those fashions. But you know what? When you get those packages, you don't come up to the UPS driver, you don't come up to the courier there and just praise them up at one side and down the other for designing that shirt, for providing that technology that's there here. It wasn't them. They were just a delivery person. They didn't write up that law brief or whatever it is, that legal document. It was a lawyer back in his office that did it. They were just the courier. And listen, Christian, you're just the courier. You're just a delivery person. It's His Son in His gospel, written in His Word by the power of His Spirit, and you're just the courier. You're just a delivery person, and His process has all of the power and all of the grace and all of the strength to make it happen. Listen, just deliver the message. Just herald the Word. Just preach the Word, and it'll accomplish what God wants it to accomplish. It's His process. Let's go to Acts chapter number 16. I want you to see the third truth. Acts chapter number 16. He's responsible for the laborers, the workers. He's responsible for the process. Acts chapter number 16, I want you to see this. He's responsible for the location. He's responsible for the location. Acts chapter number 16, verse 6. Acts 16, 6. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. The Spirit didn't permit them, didn't allow them to. Now, I was reading this recently and studying this out and thinking about this here, and this question came to my mind. I want you to think about the question. The Holy Spirit of God didn't allow Paul to go to Asia. Were there people in Asia that needed to be saved? Yeah. Were there people in Asia that needed to hear the gospel? Yes. Does God love the people in Asia? Yes. But that wasn't God's plan for Paul. You see, God is a big enough God that He can know to send Paul here. And if you'll come on Wednesday nights as we're studying the lives of the apostles, we always find out where tradition says they went. You'll find that God sent somebody else to Asia. He's a big enough God to see the whole picture and say, you know what? I want this person to work in this part of the harvest, and I've got somebody else to work in this part of the harvest. See, sometimes when God has us to go over here and work in a different part of the harvest, we say, well, who's going to reach this part of the harvest? And what's going to happen here? But God wants me over here. God wants me working in this situation, but I don't know about this here. And we have to rest in the fact that He is the Lord of the location. It's His location. He's big enough to take care of sending you here and providing somebody else to come in your place and work in that location. In Acts chapter number 8, The Lord of the harvest directed a man by the name of Philip to a totally new location, to an Ethiopian eunuch. And when God directed Philip to that eunuch trusted Christ as Savior. And tradition tells us, history tells us, that eunuch took the gospel back to his country, back to Africa there, because God was in charge of the location of it. I did grow up in central Iowa, and there was a spring and a fall of one season in which I worked for a family that did farming. They had some large John Deere equipment, and there were times in which I would be able to go out and run some of that equipment. It was my job especially just to drive a tractor and after they had already combined the corn, come through and till the soil and get it ready for the next year. And so I would come on maybe a Saturday or a day that I didn't have school and work in the fields there. And you'd work for hours and hours and hours in a field, and we'd get done in a field. You know, I didn't just pull the chisel plow or the disc up out of the field and get out on the road and say, I wonder where I should go now. I like that field. Let's just drive through town. Let's just take a drive out through the countryside. They had radios in the tractor, and I'd finish up this field, and I'd get on the radio, and I'd say, okay, I'm done with this field. Where do you want me to go next? And they'd say, well, we're going to such and such a location, such and such a farm. Drive down the highway, drive down the road, go down over here, and pull in the field, and start working on that field. Why? Because it was their farming operation. It was their harvest. And it didn't matter where I went to me. I was just laboring in the harvest. They had the authority to tell me where to go in that harvest. And listen, God is the God of the location here. And when God moves you to a different location, big or small, God puts you there for a reason here. You know what? God puts you in that job for a reason. He has you in that job to work that harvest field. And when you moved into that neighborhood, it wasn't random, it wasn't chance, it wasn't luck here. God put you in that neighborhood because He has somebody for you probably to reach and to minister the Word of God to here. He put you in that chunk of the harvest field here. God has Coon Rapids Baptist Church in Coon Rapids to reach this city and the North Metro area. And listen, what we need to do when we understand that is to rest in that and embrace that. God has us here to reach here. That means there's people here. That means there's people He wants to save through us. That means there's a neighbor down the way that He wants to reach through you. And He brought you there. He helped you rent that apartment so that you would walk down the hall and witness to that person there. He has you there to be His missionary. He put you in that location. And that's why Paul in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 3 says, pray for us that God would give to us a door of utterance, an open door. God gives those open doors. And it might come through just guiding your car to go down this way instead of this way. It might come through having you move to this neighborhood. It might come through having you change jobs. It might come through all sorts of other circumstances so that you're in that part of the harvest. There was a Christian that went through the drive-thru. And when he went through the drive-thru, he had a track on him. And he gave a track to this lady. Her name was Kiki. He gave Kiki this track, and at the end of the day, somehow the track ended up back in her car, and that track rode around in her car, and rode around in her car, and rode around in her car. Sometime later, she was getting ready to clean out her car and go through stuff and was throwing, you know, like we all do, pitching the fries underneath the seat and the wrappers and all this other stuff, cleaning out stuff. She came to that track. She didn't throw it away. She put it back in her car and just thought about it and kept cleaning out her car. And it rode around in her car and rode around in her car. And again, she came up and was cleaning her car sometime later and came upon this track, and she didn't throw it away. For 2 years, that track rode around in her car. And after 2 years, something came up. She picked up the track. She looked at it. It had such and such a Baptist church on the back of it. She went to church that Sunday and trusted Jesus Christ as her Savior. It took 2 years. God had a man who was witnessing to go to that restaurant because He knew she would be there at that restaurant working those hours with that need to minister in that part of the harvest. And we've got to see that God has us in the harvest. He has us in this specific location to minister to people here. Rest, enjoy, and enjoy that. And let it motivate you to activity. Number four, I need to move very quickly here. He is the inspiration. He owns the inspiration as well. The motivation to it. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 14 says, the love of Christ constrains us. It constrains us. And so we're involved in the harvest fields here. He owns the inspiration. That's why you're called a witness. Your job is just to tell other people what Jesus means to you and did for you. So listen, today, are you enough in love with Jesus that you can go up and just tell other people, this is what Jesus means to me. Look at what God's done for me. Let me tell you about the week that God has given me. Let me tell you about the answered prayer. Let me tell you how Jesus saved my soul. Let me tell you how he's dear to me in the hardships and the adversities of my life. Let me just tell you what Jesus means to me. He's the inspiration that we need to be able to share the gospel with people. Your job every day is to get your soul enjoying the Lord. Start out every day by enjoying the Lord. And then when it comes to sharing the gospel, it'll be an overflow of the relationship that you have with him in your life. But one last truth that I want you to see, go to Acts chapter 2. That shouldn't be far away from where you're at. Acts chapter number 2. He's the Lord of the harvest. He's the Lord of the harvest. He's responsible for the workers. He's responsible for the process. He's responsible for the location. He's responsible for the inspiration. Acts chapter 2, verse 47, very end of the chapter, verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. I want to say it this way, and I want you to hear it very carefully. He's responsible for the results. He's responsible for the results. Now listen. You are responsible to go. And they are responsible to believe. And they will answer to God with whether or not they have believed the gospel of Jesus Christ. But from our perspective, he is responsible for the results. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Acts 13:48, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. He's the one, John 6:44, who draws all men to himself. He's the one, as we've already talked about, that brings conviction through the word that we share. He's the one, Matthew chapter 16, who promised, I will build my church. He's responsible for results. Two men went to a western state to pastor churches. John went and loved the Lord and loved people and saw people saved and served for decades. And his church is smaller. Paul went and loved the Lord and loved people and shared the gospel and has served for decades. And his church is in the thousands. It's the same Lord of the harvest. He is responsible for the results. I don't save anyone. I'm just the messenger. It's his son, his gospel, his word, by the power of his spirit. I'm just the messenger. So he's responsible for the results. And listen, this is such a wonderful, glorious thing that he really is the Lord of the harvest, who owns it all and controls it all. And it motivates our evangelism. That's why in the familiar text in Matthew chapter 28, verse number 18, before Jesus commands us to share the gospel, he says, all power in heaven and in earth is given unto me. Go ye therefore. He's the Lord of the harvest. He owns it all. There are missionaries that have been to this church. They're not missionaries we regularly support, but they have presented their work in our church. They have a family with little children, and they went on deputation to go to a certain country and spent several years raising the funds and the support that they needed to go. They went to the country. There's tremendous need. They got involved. They're serving the Lord there when all of a sudden they discover that that nation where they're living will not grant a visa to one of their children. One of their children is allowed to live in that country is basically what it means. They look at the situation and they say there's such an incredible need. They look at the situation and they say, God, we've spent years of our lives preparing to come to this country and raising support to come to this country. Lord, we really believe that you want us in this country. And so they began to pray and pray and pray. They asked their churches back home to pray. Our family prayed. Other people prayed. And they prayed and prayed and prayed. And God worked in that situation, in that country, so that that nation would grant that visa for that last child in their family. And they stayed. Because he's the Lord of the harvest. He has the authority in heaven and earth to open these doors and work in this situation and send people to this location of the harvest and move people here and move people there. And listen, I want to tell you today, if you're going to be involved in the harvest field, you got to understand it's his harvest. He's in charge of the workers. And listen, you ought to be saying, okay, then I'm going to pray and I'm going to prepare laborers. I'm going to do what I can to be involved in that. Okay, he's in charge of the workers. He's in charge of the process. So I'm just going to share his word and the gospel. He's in charge of the results. He's in charge of the inspiration, the motivation. I just need to get and join him and it'll help me so much. It's his harvest. Let that draw you to activity and let it deliver you from anxiety in your heart so that you can serve God freely with all of your heart, knowing that he is in charge. It's his harvest.
Visit us at 11164 Hanson Boulevard or online at coonrapidsbaptist.org.